From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the recycling bin at your curb. Chances are it's full of things like papers and cans and plastic bottles and more. And maybe there are some items in the bin that should not be there. Maybe there are questions that you have about clamshell containers or styrofoam packages or dirty pizza boxes. We've heard them all as we talk recycling. Many of us recycle with the best of intentions, of course. But as we've learned on this program, not everything that you think can be recycled can be. It is summertime, so maybe you've got questions about items that aren't always in your recycling rotation, propane tanks, plastic containers for flowers, and more. And many of you have been emailing Connections asking if your recyclables are actually getting recycled. Some of you have asked us to follow the recycling trucks, go undercover, figure out what they're doing with this stuff. Well, I don't know if we're going to go fully undercover this hour, but we're going to tell you as much as we possibly can. If you have questions about recycling, you can call us or email us, and we're going to do our best to get through everything. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. Connections@wxxi.org. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. And one other note, just yesterday when we were talking about commemorating 10 years of this new version of Connections here on WXXI and WEOS and wherever your podcasts are sold, we had a really, really lovely note from a listener who is also an Ohio University Bobcat, Tracy in Penfield, if you're listening. Bobcats Unite. Well, Tracy said some of her favorite shows are on recycling. And she did not even know that today, well, they're back. Mike Garland, director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services. Good timing, Mike. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
So great to be here.
Tina Stevens, education coordinator for the department. It's great to have you back as well.
Thank you, Evan. Great to be here.
All right. So before we get to listener questions, and I'm sure there will be plenty because everyone wants to know what they can and can't recycle, I'm going to start by asking you what is the newest or maybe what is top of mind here, whether you want to start with Sharp Smart or otherwise. What do you think, Mike and Tina? Where do you want to start?
I suggest, Evan, we start with Sharp Smart. And the reason being is back at the end of May 31st, County Executive Adam Bello announced a public education campaign to reduce the contamination that we're seeing in our recycling stream that's coming from an increased use in sharps, needles, and syringes. It's a real issue. We know folks are wish cycling these needles and syringes. It doesn't belong in the residential recycling stream. We have an outlet for that material, but it is a real issue. And we're seeing that increase in syringes and needles, we believe, because of some of the pharmaceuticals that have come into the market, particularly for weight loss, like Ozempic and others. And since January, we've seen a dramatic rise in needles at our recycling center.
Let me just jump in. When Mike's talking about Ozempic, I mean, if you haven't encountered it, that's still a home injectable, right? So people are injecting at home.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And we believe there's residents, for whatever their need is, are using self-injectable medications at home. Could be for insulin, could be even for pets. And they want to do the right thing. And they're wish cycling needles and syringes. And they're ending up in the recycling center and creating an issue, obviously, for the workers there and even out at the landfill. Where ultimately they end up. But they don't belong there, and the county will accept syringes and needles. And what we recommend residents do, if they have a needles container, right, their specially designed needles container made out of hard plastic, or they can improvise and use a laundry detergent jug and label it accordingly. And bring it to the Eco Park when we're open on Wednesday afternoons and Saturday mornings.
Just make sure I understand. So you take the laundry detergent jug, you put the sharps in there?
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Okay. Cap it up and then label it.
That's right.
And bring it to the Eco Park when?
It would be Wednesday afternoons from 1 to 6:30 or Saturday mornings from 7:30 until 1.
Those are the Eco Park hours of operation. And if you've never been to this amazing place, where is the Eco Park, guys?
It's at 10 Avion Drive, and that's in about the southwest corner nearby the airport.
Right near the airport there. So that's how to handle sharps and syringes. And yes, there's a reason that they've put together these handy flyers on it. it has become an issue.
It's a real issue. It's a safety issue. And there are other outlets if the Eco Park is not convenient for residents. There are three local police departments that accept sharps, namely Brockport, Ogden, East Rochester. And even hospitals and nursing homes are required to accept needles and syringes. But it's a real issue. In one day, I think we collected 100 needles at the recycling center. And again, a real safety issue for the workers there.
Let me also say, because I always forget to say this, but this is important. If you are listening not in Monroe County, there may be different guidelines and rules wherever you are. I hope that you will still gain something, and I know that you will, from this program, because a lot of what we talk about is kind of universal, or at least we'll talk about trends, et cetera. So, because I always get people say, well, I don't live in Monroe County, and what do I do here? Tina?
Yes, that is where the New York State law comes into effect, where they can bring them to nursing homes, emergency rooms, any place. There's a locator on the New York State off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the website, but you go to New York State, you search Sharps Disposal. There's a locator there. You type in a zip code. It will give you the closest place to you to take these, be it a nursing home. The only thing we ask is that folks call first to make sure that they can bring them there. There have been some difficulties, even though the state does regulate this program. So call first.
Okay. And you can call us to ask anything you want this hour. 844-295-TALK as we talk recycling, what can and cannot be recycled. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994 or email us connections@WXXI.org. Is that a vape pen that you've brought, guys?
Yes, I did.
Vape?
This is a vape.
You can tell, I'm not judging anybody who vapes. I'm not a vapor, so I'm like, is that a pen? I don't even know the terminology, what that is.
Yeah, this is a vape.
Looks like a lipstick to me.
That's right, and they're pretty trendy. And that's the sad fact. These are fiendishly insidious devices, obviously from a health standpoint, but from an environmental standpoint for sure, because nicotine is an acute hazardous waste in and of itself. It can cause death or serious injury if encountered in small quantities. That's what defines it as an acute hazardous waste. There's lithium-ion batteries that can make a vape device like this. It's a single-use device, a veritable flaming rocket if it's damaged. And the battery itself can cause serious fires. And there's a lot of examples of that growing around the country. And the estimate is from the CDC that approximately 22 million of these are purchased per month in the United States, and that number is only increasing. Sadly, it's middle school and high school age kids are getting a hold of these devices. So minors are using these and becoming addicted to the nicotine. And so they're a real issue from an environmental standpoint, but fortunately the county has a program. We heard from the school districts, we heard from the Lung Association, the county's Department of Public Health had reached out to DES, and we worked together to come up with a program that we can recover these vape devices and properly manage them in an environmentally responsible and affordable way. And it's been a great benefit for the school districts in Monroe County because they confiscate this material and they don't have a means by which they can efficiently and effectively or cost-effectively dispose of these items. So we partnered with a number of private organizations, Clean Harbors, who's a contractor of ours for household hazardous waste, WM, formerly known as Waste Management, Sun King, and others, to put together a program that we could collect these materials from whether it's school districts or residents and have them properly disposed of, which is primarily through incineration or what we call energy from waste, and we recover the metals as well from the devices.
So there's a couple of things here. I want to emphasize a point. What you just heard about vapes is not a call for you just to not recycle them and just throw them in the trash. Because so much of what we talk about in this program is, can I put this in the recycle bin or can I not? Vapes, don't do that. Also, don't put it in the trash.
That's right.
So the best thing you can do, what's the process?
The best thing you can do, and I'm going to speak to some fellow parents out there in school districts, is to bring this to the Eco Park. And we will receive it there at no cost if you're a parent, right? And you collect these materials at home, or say you're a vape user, you know, collect these materials, don't put them in the trash, don't put them in the recycle bin, and bring them to the Eco Park, and we'll gladly take them from you.
Okay. And again, Eco Park is Wednesdays and Saturdays. And they asked you, is this a case, Tina, where you want to call ahead about vapes, or can you just show up?
No. That, the vape program at the Eco Park, you just drive right through the hazardous wasteland, put them in a Ziploc bag so that our folks don't have to handle them, or some kind of plastic bag, and just hand them off. That's all.
Okay. That's what to do with vapes. Go ahead, Mike.
Yep. And I was just going to add to that, we've collected, since we started the program, about 6,000 vapes. Since we started the program, I know County Executive Bello is particularly proud of this program, not just as a county executive, but as a parent as well, too, in the concern in the community. So we continue to advertise this program. It received national attention through AP Network News and got national coverage because we're really one of the few communities in the country that have an established program like this.
So real quick here, you said 22 million vapes are sold in this country per month. That's around a quarter billion a year.
That is correct.
What percentage do you think aren't either erroneously thrown in the trash or a recycling bin? Got to be a single-digit percentage, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Single-digit or less, unfortunately. I mean, and that doesn't include the illegal vapes that are coming into the country as well, too. Another big problem.
Okay.
Could I just add something
to
that, too? We don't want these thrown into the street because what happens is they get rinsed or washed down the storm drain, and then they end up at our water resource recovery plant. So that's another issue that we deal with trying to get these off the street.
What a mess. All right, there's your vape information. I want to get Julie from Phelps on the phone first up. Hi, Julie, go ahead.
Hi there. My question was, you just got through talking about sharps and needles and putting those in the laundry detergent bottles. Do the type of injectables, like for, it's the weight loss things, Trulicity is one of them, but it's the needle retracts back up into the cartridge. How should those be dealt in the same way?
Okay, it's a very good question. Mike, Tina?
Yes, they should. Great question.
So just treat them like a typical sharp, even if the needle has retracted.
There are many different kinds of sharps, many kinds. We don't want any of them in the waste stream.
Okay, good to know.
Right, and there's some that are lancets. They're very, very small, just for, say, the fingertip.
Oh,
those should go as well, too. So thank you, Julie.
That helped, Julie?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks for the phone call, 844-295-TALK. If you want to call the program with questions on what can and cannot be recycled, or how to recycle, or how to be a better consumer, or how to create a new market for plastics, and if you want to head that up, because somebody needs to do that. Barb writes to say, I should also finish off the number, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. You can email us, connections@WXXI.org. Barb writes to say, maybe the recycling companies should offer a special container or bag for home use to make it easy for people to use and hopefully remind them not to put vapes in the trash. So some kind of easier mechanism to deal with vapes, Barb says.
Well, thank you, Barb, for that question. In reality, the responsibility is on the producer. Counties can't do it alone. Local government cannot do this alone. And so we would like to see legislation that requires any producer or say, resale outlet or, retail outlet to be able to take those devices back when they're used and no longer needed.
What about, you just used a term that actually applies more broadly, producer responsibility, which we've seen various forms of legislation proposed, some passed, some not. I mean, I don't know if, do you want to say, get me out of politics, don't ask me policy questions, or do you think, no, we need more producer responsibility bills?
Absolutely do.
We do. Okay. And that typically just means if you produce plastic, glass, different packaging, that you as the producer are responsible for dealing with some kind of safe disposal?
Disposal, it's the life cycle. You are responsible for that product through its life cycle.
And typically what we end up seeing is companies will try to learn how to do that. Sometimes they might put an additional fee on a wine bottle, a plastic bottle, et cetera. There have been debates about what's economically feasible. But get used to hearing producer responsibility, I think.
A new law on the books that will, I believe, take effect next year or the year after for carpet.
Interesting.
Yeah, and paint care, of course, is one of the ones that's on the books right now, where when you buy paint, there is a fee attached to it. And that fee goes to fund a program where paint can be recycled at local retailers. The ones around here are Sherwin-Williams, Ace Hardware. This is, of course, in addition to the program that we already run at the Eco Park and have been running for over 20 years.
Since we're on paint, before I get back to some listener comments that have come in, somebody listening right now has got paint cans in the garage. You want them at the Eco Park, or what should they do?
It depends on whatever's easier for them. The only thing we ask is if they're 1/3 full or less, fill them with kitty litter and put that in the trash. That is acceptable in the trash if it's dried up, okay?
Interesting. So put cat litter into a mostly empty but still with a little bit of paint in it, paint can.
Right.
That will dry it up and make it safe to dispose of in the regular garbage.
That's correct. And then when you put it in the garbage, it must have the lid off. The hauler must be able to see that it is dried up. Otherwise, they will take it out and leave it at the curb.
Okay. Otherwise, if it's more than 1/3 full, you can take it to the Eco Park.
Eco Park or any of these local retailers that subscribe to paint care.
Do you need an appointment at the Eco Park for this one?
You do.
Okay. So let the Eco Park know. Get in touch with them. Online where for the Eco Park?
MonroeCounty.gov/EcoPark.
Very easy to use. Mm-hmm. We are talking to the experts, Tina Stevens and Mike Garland. Tina is the education coordinator for the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services. Mike, the director of the department, and answering your questions on recycling. And we're also talking about some of the things they're doing. Let me hit a couple of other questions from listeners before I get back to a little bit of their agenda, which is making sure you know about upcoming events. So before we do that, Ellie says, with the end of school here, many of us are emptying out our kids' backpacks. Our spiral notebooks recyclable, or do we need to remove the metal or plastic spiral? And what about paperback workbooks?
Oh, that's such a great question. The paperback workbooks, as long as they're paperback, no cardboard, can go right into the recycling bin. The spiral notebooks, you can leave the spiral on, but I encourage you to see how much paper is left in there and how much you might be able to use for something else. I remember back in the days when I had a child in school, it was, you know, everything went into the recycle bin. Now, we encourage folks to save things from the end of the school year to reuse in another 6 or 8 weeks when you have to start filling that backpack again.
I'm thinking of the way I often look at items, wondering if they're recyclable, Tina. Because, you know, to Ellie's question about, well, do we remove the metal or plastic spiral? There's so many products that have plastic in them but are not exclusively plastic, or have paper as part of them. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to convince yourself, well, I could just put this in the recycling bin. When in doubt, throw it out. But part of what Ellie is wondering is, can we break it down and separate?
You can. Okay. You can. Really not necessary, but you can do that. It's, you know, the separation procedures have evolved over the years. Back 10 years ago, you would have had to take off the spiral, not anymore.
Generally speaking, now, if Ellie throws that full spiral notebook in the recycling bin, it'll be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ellie, there we go. And that's a lot of parents and families with the end of school. Okay, another question. Are there any plans to accept thermofoam? I don't know what thermofoam is.
Evan, I believe your caller is referring to styrofoam, what we'd commonly refer to styrofoam. And we do accept black styrofoam at the Eco Park for packing purposes. Say you have a new television, new appliance, it might have large black styrofoam. We do accept it as long as it's clean, no markings, no tape on it. But as it relates to, you know, the egg containers, other types of like single use takeout containers, that styrofoam should go in the garbage.
I just looked up thermoform. It's basically a form of insulation, and that would not be acceptable. The The foam that we accept at the Eco Park is the only thing we delineate by being marked with a number, and it has to have a 6 on it. Okay. I go back and forth with my good friend Steve Pellets about this all the time, because that's all he wants. That's all he can take over there is what has a 6. And I fight him tooth and nail on the numbers, because we don't want people looking by numbers, especially plastics. We want them looking by shape.
Right. Good information there. Styrofoam, thermofoam. Let's get one other one here. If you've got old strips of insulation in your garage, what can you do with it?
Trash.
Trash.
Mm-hmm. There's no recycling stream for that.
And another listener's asking, how about the foam beds like Purple or Viking?
No. Work with your waste hauler to have them haul it away. Or sometimes when you get a mattress delivered, I realize that Purple and Viking are the ones that are just sent to your home. But if you buy from a store, they'll take your old mattress away. There is no current recycling program for mattresses in Monroe County. There may be coming down the pike, but again, not at this moment. So the best thing to do is to have it hauled away or work with your waste hauler.
Tina, this is a great little side moment to ask you if you want to say something about not just recycling, but reusing, which we've talked about. I don't know that we're going to reuse the sharps or find good uses for syringes. However, there's lots of items that you look at, clothing, things mm-hmm. like that. There's some very creative people who have found really good uses. And I think we probably all could get better at reusing before we try to throw something out or recycle it, couldn't we?
Absolutely. That's why it's the second R. We have a Goodwill drop at the Eco Park. We'll pretty much take anything that you could drop at a Goodwill, with the exception of large electronics. Those at the Eco Park would go to Sun King. We really believe in the concept of reuse. We tell people to, as opposed to buying books, get them out of the library, reuse magazines for craft projects. There's all kinds of good things that can be done, all kinds of them.
All right, so before I come back to your emails, and I know the list is growing here, it's connections at WXXI.org. I always say we're going to try to get through all of them. Connections at WXXI.org if you've got questions on what can and cannot be recycled. Or if you want to call the program, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. There are 3 mobile pharmaceutical waste collections at Wegmans this summer that you should be aware of, at least. And I've got dates of those. And I think that's a Wegmans program, though, right? That's not through the county. Is that correct?
That is cooperation with. Yep.
You're partnering with
partnering,
Wegmans.
Yep.
Okay.
Great
so
partner.
There was already one a few days back at the Ladder Road Wegmans. Saturday, August 10th at the Holt Road Wegmans in Webster. Saturday, September 21st. At the Chilai Paul Wegmans on Chilai Avenue. So those are all 9 to 1 p.m. And mobile, those are pharmaceutical waste collections. So generally, what are people bringing?
They're bringing over-the-counter medications, prescription medications, whether they're expired or no longer needed. They can bring sharps, as we've discussed. There's always a law enforcement officer on site, because the materials may be controlled substances that have been prescribed. So we find this is a very popular service, again, provided cooperatively with Wegmans. That same material can be brought to the Eco Park, but we like to get out into the community when and where we can.
All right, so those are your dates there partnering with Wegmans. Monroe County is also hosting a series of upcoming mobile household hazardous waste collection events. You'll accept sharps in participating suburbs, and I don't know if there's an easy way to figure out if your suburb is on the list here. One was already held in Ogden on June 8th. You got, Penfield? I see Irondequoit on the list here. Residents can also drop off up to 30 gallons of chemicals such as paint, automotive fluids, fertilizers, household cleaners, and pool chemicals at no charge. So that's coming up in September, October, I think?
That is right. Penfield Webster is Saturday, September 14th, and Town of Irondequoit is Saturday, October 5th. Reservations are required. You can go right online to make those reservations. But this time of year, it's excellent to talk about recycling some of the items you mentioned, Evan. Pool chemicals, right, in the summer. Propane tanks, those are big issues, a big hazard that we see for haulers and in our processing facility. They can create fires, obviously, and explosions. So there's a lot of things that we want folks to be thinking about when they recycle, if they're going to the eco park or taking part in one of our mobile household hazardous waste collections.
And again, propane tanks, popular issue. You know, Tina's got a big kind of big smile because probably I imagine people do the wrong thing with these tanks sometimes,
yeah,
Tina?
They do. And they end up in the trucks. And what you have to remember is that trash trucks compact. Okay, they close in on things to make things smaller. And when propane tanks, especially the little ones, are compacted, yes, they tend to explode, as do lithium-ion batteries. And we have every summer, unfortunately, there are a few truck fires. And you don't want one of these in your front yard or even in your neighborhood. So we provide this really easy way to get rid of these tanks. It's drive-in and drop-off. And back in April, I happened to be at the Eco Park filling in for someone for a day, and I was amazed at the amount of tanks that came in. It was like every other car had propane tanks in them. So the need is still there. The need is great. Do not put these in trash or recycling.
Ellie, by the way, who had written in about end of school and notebooks, just wanted to follow up and say, when they say no cardboard, are they talking about corrugated cardboard only? I always thought the back of notebooks were cardboard, but am I wrong? What's the difference they're talking about here?
I'm not sure what she means because we take cardboard too.
Oh, you take cardboard.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Cardboard is a huge commodity for us.
Okay.
Huge.
Ellie, if there's something that's still outstanding, send us a follow-up note there. Jerry in Webster is next on the phone. Hello, Jerry. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question regarding those plastic containers that the restaurants give it to you when you take home your meal. How can they be recycled?
Well, thank you for your question, Jerry. That's a common question that we get. Unfortunately, there isn't a market, and you're well aware of that, for them to be recycled. And there's a number of issues right now, but we are exploring opportunities that we can find a outlet for that material. One of the challenges, often people recycle them, but they leave food waste within them, right? Or they wish cycle them, if you will. So there's food waste. They can become flattened in the compaction of the recycling truck that's hauling them, and then they can create contamination in, say, our paper bales once they get through the processing stream. So that creates an issue. And often the what we call clamshells, those containers, whether they have lids or not, say berries, takeout containers, they are made from chemicals that aren't presently recyclable or have an outlet for that material presently. But we are exploring that, and we hopefully have some news here shortly about recycling materials like that.
I see. One other question, too. Do all the waste haulers in the county bring their waste to the landfills here, or are they recycled outside the county?
That is an excellent question. There's no requirement that a hauler, whether it's trash or recycling, bring their materials to a county-owned facility. There are two landfills in Monroe County. There's a Mill Seat landfill in the town of Riga that is owned by Monroe County but operated by WM. There's also on the east side of the county the High Acres landfill, and that is owned and operated by WM. There are landfills, as you may know, that exist outside the county. So haulers have a choice on where they can bring the material. But I would say 90% of the material that goes to the county's Mill Seat landfill is generated from within Monroe County, including the city of Rochester. But as it relates to recycling, we handle, I would estimate, about 80% of the recycled curbside materials that are generated here in Monroe County. Again, there is a recycling center in Ontario County, and haulers can choose to bring the recyclables there.
Jerry, thank you. Related, Marcia writes in to say, what is the best way to dispose of the thin plastic drink cups from drive-through restaurants? Examples being frozen coffee, Starbucks coffee, smoothies, pop, etc.
Trash. No cups and recycling in Monroe County.
I mean, Marcia. I am telling
Poor Marcia.
You. It's heartbreaking, Marcia. I have the same question every time. It's awful. So is there a number one item that shows up in recycling that people are just convinced can be recycled, but it cannot?
Well, those are a big one.
Cups that's got to be high on the list.
Then clamshells.
And K-cups. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
By now, we should know that K-cups are an evil invention.
Unfortunately, some folks don't.
Just an evil invention, like unrecyclable. However, this is something, you know what I said, I think, last time you guys were on? I said, I'm just going to keep putting my Starbucks cups in the recycling because I want them to be recycled, and I want it to be such a pain for you that you figure out a way to recycle them, but that's not happening.
That's wish cycling.
We have a name. We have a name for that.
I'm not even sure that's wish cycling. That might be like jerk cycling. Like, I know that it cannot be recycled. I know it. Oh, man. So why not then make all of that stuff recyclable? Is this a producer responsibility in your view now?
No. I mean, it's those things get flattened. And they end up in our paper stream. And Evan, I know you would never do this, but there are people who would put cups in there with ice and coffee and everything else, which when that gets flattened, it goes all over the paper and makes things.
It is
a mess. So we actually, and I'll give a little shout out here to my two former coworkers, Luann Meyer and Nicole Fornoff, who were really the champions of this. Back in 2017, we had to make a decision about cups. And we went down the list and we said, what about this cup? What about this cup? And the messaging came out that no cups, because it was too hard to say this cup, but not that cup. Does that make sense?
Yes, although I'm still sad about it.
I'm sorry.
Right. And it's being looked at, certainly. We would like to be able to find an outlet for that material. But it presently doesn't exist here in our community.
My goodness. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our only break of the hour here. And I was like, oh, we're just kind of cruising along here, like good amount of feedback, but I'm not overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, in the last 5 minutes, I'm overwhelmed. So we have a lot of emails and phone calls to get to. And I'm going to try to get through everything that comes in this hour with our guests from Monroe County, Mike Garland, Tina Stevens. They're helping us understand what can and cannot be recycled, what to do with certain items that are really delicate, like vapes or sharps. We're talking, when we say sharps, we're talking about things like syringes, you know, needles. So let's go ahead and take that break. And if you've got recycling questions, we're going to try to get through everything in the next 20 minutes. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, a former Biden White House official joins us to talk about the opioid crisis and why a slight improvement in the numbers is not cause for, in his words, a celebration just yet. In our second hour, Dr. Steve Cook is leaving Rochester, a frequent guest on this program. He's talking to us about the work that he'll be doing in childhood obesity, healthier living, and more. That's Monday. This is Connections. If you're listening in a Starbucks drive-thru, just know that whatever they give you is not going to be recyclable. And that's a bummer. But, you know, that's the world we're living in now. Especially the plastics international market has really dried up in recent years. It's been well documented. It is a bummer. But the goal is to be a smarter, educated consumer. That's why Mike and Tina are here. And the goal is also to be kind to the people who have to work with waste, because if you know something can't be recycled, don't wish cycle or don't jerk cycle it. That's the new word that I came up with. Like, if you know it can't, that's not wish cycling anymore. They're not going to endorse that term, but I'll use it. Bill in Fairport on the phone. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question for Mike, Evan, about the Emerson Street recycling facility. How much of that is automated versus manual operations?
Oh, thank you for the question, Bill. The Monroe County Recycling Center, which is generically known as a MRF, Materials Recycling Facility, is operated by WM. It's a single stream facility. We've recently automated even more lines than we had before. I can't speak specifically to what percentage is still manual, but we do have waste management. WM has employees there that are providing quality control, doing some positive sort through materials, and removing items in particular is probably the primary responsibility that could cause contamination or harm within the facility itself. But it is heavily automated. And if you'd like to learn more about it, we do have an award-winning, it was a Telly Award that Tina produced, a video online at monroecounty.gov /recycling.
Does that help, Bill?
Okay, so you say it. Did you say, Mike, that it's now operated by Waste Management?
WM continues to make investments in our single stream recycling facility. And majority of the processes there are automated. And again, you can see it all online. We've got a great video, both in English and Spanish, that's educational, both for children and adults.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. Joe in Rochester next. Hello, Joe.
Hi. I heard you guys talking about pharmaceuticals earlier, and there's something in August and September. I'm actually curious about the empty pill bottles that I have. I have a lot of prescriptions that I get for my dog, and the pharmacy doesn't take them back. So I'm curious how I can recycle those.
Common question.
Very common. You can bring those, Joe, right to the Eco Park. What I do at my house, and unfortunately I'm in the same boat as you with the dog, I keep a bag in my pantry. When the bag is full, I just take it to the Eco Park. There's a bin there. What happens to them is they are not recycled. They are incinerated at an energy from waste plant in Niagara Falls, creating energy. Because in order to recycle those, it would be horribly time-consuming. They'd have to be cleaned, sorted. It would be a mess. So this is really the best, highest use of those pill bottles.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, again, very, very common question there. Gary in Bloomfield next. Hello, Gary. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Evan. I've called your program a couple of times when you've been having this topic, and I want to address the issue of the consumer's responsibility. If you, you know, the consumer can, first off, I believe that most recycling is actually an industry diversion from the most important parts of this process, which is reuse and reduce before you recycle. So emphasize the fact that consumers can stop using those products that can't be recycled. Two things. One is I believe they should be illegal to make. I mean, if you can't recycle it, you shouldn't be able to make it. The other thing is the consumer can be an aggressive consumer and actually speak up. I was at a place that serves food, you know, a restaurant in Rochester, and I was eating in, and they still put the food in an unrecyclable plastic container and for me to sit at the table. That's absolutely ridiculous. So I spoke to the manager, and I said people should be allowed to use the reusable plate you use to bring the food up to be cooked, rather than the plastic. And he said, well, that's possible, but nobody ever asks for it. So I said, well, I'd like to see that. I'm not going to be able to come in here if you cannot serve my dinner in a washable container.
Sure, yeah.
And the other thing is, I mentioned this in the past to you, that in terms of over-packaging, I recommend people, and I have several hundred people now that have been, you know, taking my advice. When you go to places that you want to buy, let's say, a battery, and you have to have it wrapped in, it's wrapped in a big piece of cardboard, then it's got a piece of plastic around it, and then it's got plastic inside that. What I do is I carry a little tiny box knife. It's only the entire knife is about an inch and a half, and blade is about a quarter of an inch. And after paying for it, I just stand right at the counter, and I take out all that packaging, and I take the object that I want, put it in my pocket, and that's what I walk out with. I leave all the over packaging on the counter. I usually get bad looks or comments or something, but I said, listen, if Walmart and these big companies, they have the purchasing power to demand that this stuff not be packaged so stupidly.
Well, and let me just jump in, Gary, because I want to work in other phone calls and emails. But I will say this. You are raising a powerful point about the power of consumers. If more people in restaurants said, hey, I don't want this in a plastic container. Like, I mean, I know you've got dishware back there. Let's do that. They will respond to you. They don't want to lose your business. So I think we can firmly, politely describe our concerns, and businesses don't want to lose your business. So that's a good starting point right there. As for packaging, I've long thought packaging is, we are overpackaged as a society now. It is a little bit ridiculous. It's a lot bit ridiculous when you see, even when small items show up and they are overpackaged. So anything we can do to tell them, I don't need the bag, I don't need the package, I just need the item, it's a good thing. And communication is a great thing there. So, I mean, Tina, you're an education coordinator like that. What do you
absolutely
think?
He's on the right path. We have more power as consumers than we think.
Yeah. Gary, thank you. Thanks for leaving that in our heads, and I hope we're all thinking about that. Judy in Rochester next. Hello, Judy. Go ahead.
Hello. I really like these shows about recycling. My question has to do with Tupperware. The Tupperware we bought in the 1970s. Throw it away. Try to get somebody else to use it. Can it be recycled? I'd like to know.
I know. You know, always first, if you can find someone else to use it, donate it, use it as a dog bowl, something. But eventually, all of this has to go. You know, it's not like we can keep it around forever. And I'm sorry about your 1970s Tupperware. I'm sure that there's an attachment to it somewhere.
But it can't be recycled?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially from back then. We don't know what the plastic was back then.
Yeah, make it a dog bowl.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. It's probably pull that BPH or whatever, that the BPA that they used back then. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I mean, in the 1970s, they were still serving lead as candy bars. The McDonald's were selling the McLead. I mean, it was a very a lot has changed. Let's see here. Dan writes to say, I saw on your website that you do have a receptacle for paper documents to be shredded, but that it is not secure, so you do not recommend sensitive material like bank statements. Will you offer secure paper shredding?
Most likely not. That service is provided to the county from Cascades Recovery. We will not be issuing documents or certifications or any of that. I can tell you this. That is probably one of the most popular services at the Eco Park, and we have never had an issue. So I take my stuff there. I know Mike's taking things there. We've never had a problem with identity theft over there.
And we are open to certified document shredding because we hear that request often. And so we continue to look for that service.
Okay. Dan, good luck. Marna wants to know, on recycling, what can you do with broken kitchen gadgets such as a broken immersion blender?
That could be brought to the Eco Park and taken to the electronics area. Anything with a cord, pretty much, can go right to the electronics area.
Do you need an appointment?
No, not for electronics. The only thing that requires an appointment is hazardous waste.
MonroeCounty.gov/EcoPark.
Very good.
For more information there. And the Eco Park is open on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Wednesdays, 1 to 6:30. Saturday, 7:30 to 1. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. A great service there. If it's got a cord, don't put it in the recycling.
Right. Don't put it in the recycling and don't put it in the trash.
Don't put it in the trash. Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
No cords, no hoses, any of those things that we call tanglers should go into the recycling stream.
Caroline wants to know, what happens with paper products if they get wet outside in the recycling bin? I wonder whether to put out paper on rainy days.
You can. It's not a great best practice, but I realize that some people put out their recycling and then go to work and it rains. And it will be recycled. But if you can hold it off, that would be the best thing to do. If you know it's raining, you know.
Okay. So it's not necessarily a deal breaker.
No.
But if you can avoid the wet,
yeah,
avoid it. Jeff in Rochester, what about items like company uniforms that cannot be donated but are no longer usable? Can we drop those off at Eco Park to be shredded and recycled?
No, we don't take clothing to be shredded. We will accept clothing in a Goodwill drop that will go to Goodwill, but we don't have any way to shred clothing.
So in general, if you've got company uniforms he's not going to use anymore, still send them to Goodwill?
No. What I would suggest is that he call his company and they are on the hook to recycle. I know Wegmans does that. Wegmans recycles all their T-shirts and uniforms. It would be something that the company or the uniform provider would do.
Okay. Charlie in Pittsford, I just read somewhere that my orange detergent container is not recyclable and neither are the black plastic containers that I take home from restaurants. Is it true? Charlie, we already did the takeout one. The takeout, you probably cannot recycle.
No.
The orange detergent container?
You could save it for your sharps, but no. No, that is not, I am not privy to that. Any kind of laundry container is recyclable.
It is recyclable.
Yep, yeah. And valuable.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, sure.
That's a really great plastic that can be made into a lot of things.
Okay, so Charlie, yes, you're correct. You cannot recycle the take-home plastics from restaurants
right. Pretty
much always, but that orange detergent container can be recycled.
Right, caps yep. And lids on, and throw it in the bin.
And then that's assuming, if I could add, Evan, it's coming to the Monroe County Recycling Center.
Right.
I would suggest Charlie contact his hauler. Depending on who his hauler is, maybe they have a restriction outside of the county's program.
Okay, on and on we go. Can I include plastic vitamin bottles in my blue box, Chris wants to know.
If they're empty, yes.
If they're empty, yes. Okay, that's... Vitamin bottles are different than pill bottles, yes?
Yes.
Okay, we already talked about pill bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, over-the-counter vitamin bottles.
Okay. All right. Yep. Chris, I hope that answers that one for you. Okay. Jennifer in Pittsford. We have an ongoing battle in our house about exactly how clean and dry containers need to be before you put them in our recycling bin. Please save us more arguments and clarify this for us. Especially things like peanut butter jars.
Oh,
also,
butter jar.
Welch's grape jelly has lids that have both metal and plastic. Should those be thrown out instead of put back on, clean and dry, to be recycled?
Okay, let's take the Welch's one first. I would put that, again, super clean. I run everything in my house through the dishwasher, which may not be practical for everyone, but I think it's the best way to get things clean. That grape jelly lid I would put on there. Put the lid back on. That's the, if there's anything there to be recovered, that's the best way to recover it. And secondly, the peanut butter jar, what I tell folks is if you have a dog, give them the extreme pleasure of licking that out and then put soap in it, put it in the sink, shake it, let it sit there for a few days, and then throw it in the dishwasher, put the lid on, and put it in the recycling once it's dry.
So peanut butter, even though it's plastic, that can be recycled.
Yeah.
Right.
And I could give a pro tip to Jennifer, too. A couple
yes.
things, right? And part of our responsibility in the county is public education outreach, right? So we do have this nifty magnet that can go on the refrigerator. And if Jennifer would like one, please contact us through the MonroeCounty.gov /recycling website. We'll gladly send this magnet from the county executive to anyone requesting it. And it is definitely resolved a lot of, let's say, domestic discussions, if you will.
Domestic discussion. It's a great idea to have on the fridge, trust me. All right, we're almost like in a lightning round. I'm just going to keep going here. Another listener, I've asked this 100 times, but can I bring clamshells to the eco park?
No.
No.
Yep.
Got to throw those out.
Away.
Yep.
Got to
yes.
throw those
Best
out.
Best thing to do is don't buy them.
Sean says they're talking about drive up and drop off for recycling at Eco Park. What about people that don't have a vehicle? Can we call and get a pickup?
The county doesn't have any way to do that. What I would suggest is finding a friend, relative, or a neighbor who might have some room in their bin and giving them your materials if you don't have a car.
It's a good question.
It is. It's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck, because that's an important one. So that's a hard one. Okay. John, are the following acceptable? Paper egg cartons.
Yes.
In the recycling.
Yes.
Paper bags with rope handles.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Empty plastic motor oil bottles.
No. Put those in the garbage. It's the same thing with a pesticide. You know, if they get compressed, there's going to be motor oil all over everything.
And let's get Art here. Art wants to know, how come glass with a deposit can be recycled, but wine and liquor bottles cannot?
They can all be recycled.
Well, yes, they can be recycled, and Tina's correct. They can be recycled in your recycle bin, but there is no legislation presently on wine and spirits for a deposit and for a return.
Okay, so... your wine bottles should go where?
They should go in the curbside recycling bin or toter.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And finally, listener wants to says, dumb question, but when you go to the Eco Park, how does it work? Do you bring items to specific locations in different buildings, or do you just show up with items in your vehicle and it's kind of a curbside thing?
Well, a great question. If you're curious, you can go on MonroeCounty.gov/recycling, and we have an outstanding video that shows exactly how it works. It's self-serve. Although we will help you with your household hazardous waste, when you pull up, you have to make an appointment for household hazardous waste. That is that we will assist you and pull that material out of the back of your vehicle. But everything else in the EcoPark is self-serve. And if they have any other questions, the county developed another public education tool, and that is an Alexa skill. That was developed by Dr. Tony Harkin of A Civic Voice. And if you have an Alexa device or you have an Alexa app on your phone, you can simply say, Alexa, open Monroe County Recycling, and ask away.
Patrick says, per my listening to NPR a few weeks ago, I found out there's a young lady in New Orleans that realized wine bottles can be returned to their natural state, which is gravel and sand. I think they've done roughly 6 coastline restorations with the crushed glass, which essentially becomes either gravel or sand based on the medium that they need for the restoration projects. That seems very cool to me. Yes, Tina?
That is. That's one of the primary uses of recycled glass. The problem is that all of the plants that did that have closed down in the last 10 years. So that's why the state has put money into Alfred University to establish a glass consortium, if you will, to find new uses for this glass.
Chad says, before you buy it or throw it away, just stop and say, where will it go tomorrow? What could it be when it's no use to me?
Exactly.
All right, Chad. Way to go. Right on.
Good job, Chad.
That's it. That's a great way to think about this. Yeah. If you need more information on this, get one of those magnets and just put them up at the house. It's going to really eliminate a lot of questions. And if you want to get online, Mike, where can people go to learn more?
At MonroeCounty.gov/recycling.
Thank you, Mike Garland, Director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services, for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Tina Stevens, Education Coordinator. Always fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
These are some of the most popular shows. We've been doing this for 10 years, and Mike and Tina are more popular than me. From the whole team at Connections, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.